plagues on Egypt and redeemed them out of it. And that's a picture of you and I getting saved. Then Leviticus, one word is holiness. And holiness means that God is unique. He's set apart from all of his creation. He's the only uncreated creator of everything. He is holy. The Bible says God is love, but it says holiness is the Lord. That means holiness defines God's uniqueness. He's set apart. His attributes are unique and special. And he has certain attributes that he does not communicate to us, like omniscience. We're not omniscient. We're not all-knowing. Omnipresent. We're not everywhere present. And on it goes, all powerful, you know, and so forth. And God is holy. Holiness is the Lord. And he teaches you to be holy, to be separate from the world and separate from things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And so I want to talk tonight about separation by God in your church and how that works in a very practical way, that God wants the church to be holy. That's not very popular today, that holiness in the church is not very popular and separation is not very popular, but it's very important that we understand it. And so I want to look at three things about separation and holiness in your church. And I want to say, firstly, there is separation for disciplining yourself. Separation for disciplining yourself. And that is so important. The Bible talks about that in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31. Here's what it says. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now, the Bible is holy. And one of the things the Bible is supposed to do is provide you a mirror so you can see yourself. Sometimes before I come up here, I'll look in the mirror and I'll see weird things in the mirror about myself. And I'll say, if I get up there and I look like that, it's going to be weird. I need to straighten this or deal with this or deal with that or whatever. And so we look into the mirror. Well, the Bible is a mirror that shows us how God sees us. And God wants us to be holy. He wants us to be set apart from the world. And he'll show us where our thought is not holy. Our words are not holy. Our actions are not holy. Remember Isaiah? He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell among a people of unclean lips. Why? Because I've seen the Lord. You know, I've seen his glory. And I realize where I am. So are you seeing yourself? Are you seeing yourself? Sometimes people don't see themselves. And there was a poem, I don't know who wrote that poem, To a Louse, is that the one? And there's a lady with a big hat in church, and she was so proud of her hat, but a louse was running around her hat, and everybody saw it. And sometimes we don't see ourselves. We don't see where we are. And we need to discipline ourselves. And that is so important, that we are willing to see ourselves and then to discipline ourselves. I'll give you an illustration of this. My wife, about 40 years ago or plus 40 years ago, she had on her back a weird-looking mole, and it turned colors. And her mother, being from Florida, was visiting us, and she looked at that mole, and she said, I do not like that mole. You need to go to the doctor and get it examined. Well, when she went into the doctor and got it examined, he said, we need to do a biopsy. And thankfully, he cut quite a bit around it and cut that out and biopsied that, and he found it was malignant melanoma cancer. Very lethal if it's left untreated and can go right into your vital organs and kill you. That was over 40 years ago, and thank God he got it and it's not reoccurred. but that is something in her family that showed up in Florida, and the sun can have an effect on that. But my point is that the Bible says when you and I take the Lord's table, it says in 1 Corinthians 11:28, but let a man examine himself. Well, that's what my mother-in-law was helping my wife to examine herself and see, you need to go to the doctor and get this dealt with. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Now you say, how can I examine myself? Well, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? So you can't know how bad your heart is. You can't see your heart. But it says that the Word of God will show you your heart. It says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You see, you and I need the Word of God. By the way, we need preaching. Amen. We need the preaching of the Word of God. We need teaching, but we also need preaching where the Word of God, you have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God that can go in and cut out that malignant melanoma before it kills you, like it did my wife over 40 years ago. And so I'm saying to you tonight, we need separation in the church and holiness in the church by disciplining yourself. I think of a former member of our church, Bev Pay, and she married a deacon, Jean Hordesky. Her name was Bev Hordesky. She had a dad, lived up in Forest City. And apparently the dad had a heart attack, just suddenly he died. And that was tough on the family, but apparently for quite a while he'd been having pains in his heart, but he didn't tell anybody. And he didn't do anything about it. You know, not only do you need, listen to me, not only do you need to judge yourself, you need to tell somebody oftentimes to help you so that you don't get hardened through the deceitfulness of that sin, and it takes you over and it gets a hold of it. You need to tell somebody. If you're struggling with something, you need to tell somebody and to deal with it. And that's what this man didn't do. And boom, he died of a heart attack. See, there's no sanctification in isolation. We need the body. So we need to judge ourselves, and that happens with the Word of God. So many times people can get hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. They can sit in a service, hear a message, and oh, that just goes in one ear and out the other. Do you ever come to the altar? Do you ever deal with yourself? We should be doing that regularly. And when you don't do it, then you can expect that you could be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, and you could be taken down and really get messed up because you're not disciplining yourself. And the Lord's table is not only to think about the Lord and what He did for us, but to think about ourselves and examine ourselves when we're doing the Lord's table and make sure that we don't have unconfessed sin in our life. And so if you don't discipline yourself, then what's going to happen? The Lord will step in and discipline you. So what does the Bible say? First John talks about having fellowship with a holy God. And he says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I've been chastened by God more than once in my life. I don't like it. So I've learned something. When I sin, I need to keep short accounts with God. I need to confess it. The word is homo legeo. It means to say the same thing God does about it. I drag it right out in the open, say, God, this is what I just did or thought or said. I got to drag this right out. And I got to judge this the way you judge it. and condemn it the way you condemn it. And then I can go from that, from persecuting myself and judging myself, to praising my Savior that he was condemned for that sin, that he hung on the cross for that sin, that he was separated from the Father for that particular sin that I just did. And that's what it took. It was a great price. It's not cheap forgiveness. It cost Jesus everything. And we need to confess our sins and then remember that God is just, that he punished that sin so that you could be forgiven. And then to remember that God keeps his promises. You remember Peter said, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? And what did Jesus say? 70 times 7. Not just 7, 70 times 7. In other words, if your brother sins against you and he comes to you, he says, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done it. You forgive him. And you get reconciled. And so you do that with God because you want to judge yourself and you don't want to be chastened of the Lord. And also, you don't want that sin to kill you. Either we kill it or it's going to kill us. And it's going to destroy others around us. You don't sin in a vacuum.
Right.
You do not sin in a vacuum. We're part of a body. We affect one another. When Achan sinned, he affected his family, and his family affected him. Then he affected the whole nation of Israel because they all got into problems because of it. A rotten apple, you put it with, it's going to make other apples rotten. If you have a bread, how many of you had a loaf of bread, and you had the bread turning moldy? And when the bread turned moldy, how many of you saw it was spreading to other loaves, other bread pieces? Okay. So what do you do with the loaf? What do you usually do with it? You throw it to the birds. All right. Now me, I just take the moldy stuff out. Maybe go one. You eat it, and I eat the rest. But anyway, I'm just saying, that's me. I'm my father's son. He had a stomach like a steel whatever. He was amazing. We used to call him the human garbage can. He could eat anything. But I'm just saying, you want to separate the moldy bread from the unmoldy, because it spreads. And that has to happen in our life. The first thing, you separate yourself by judging yourself, by examining yourself, by condemning that sin, and then by seeing that Christ was condemned for that sin and paid for that sin. And you tell God that you thank him for cleansing you and paying for that, and deal with it. That's the first thing, separation in your church by judging yourself. Secondly, there is separation, listen to me, by your responsibility to confront your brothers and sister in Christ. We're part of a body. We're part of a family. Here's a brother or sister in this church family, and you should be disciplining yourself. You should be putting yourself under the Word of God and not saying, how is this message affecting her or him? How is it affecting me? And it becomes obvious if you fail to discipline yourself, you're going to rationalize away your sin. You know what excuse is. It's the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. When you start making excuses for your sin instead of confessing it and bringing it out in the light, you are rationalizing that away. It could be a sin of omission, like you're failing to come to church and you're skipping, doing something else, and you rationalize that away. Well, listen, you need to be somewhat hard on yourself from the Word of God and not do that. And if you are rationalizing it, then you're going to get caught in sin. Now, if you are a spiritual saint, that means that you're yielded to the Holy Spirit and you yourself are not giving in to your sinful nature. You are cleansed and walking in the light. If you're doing that, the Bible says you are a spiritual person. But if you're a spiritual person, you then can see when a person may be caught in a sin. And it's like a train wreck. It's like a slow motion train wreck. You can just see that person is not judging themselves. They're not getting right with God. And that sin is going to overtake them. You can get caught in a sin. A lot of people didn't expect it to be caught in adultery, but they got snagged into it, and marriages are destroyed that way. We had a lady in our church, she caught it embezzling money, and we had to deal with that and help her with that and deal with it. But she got caught in embezzling money. And another person in the church got caught stealing money, and I talked to the police involved in it. They came to me and talked to me, and the person was a person that was kind of highly, high position in the church, and they put dye on the money, and the dye went, you know, the police could see it when they put the light, and they could see the dye from the person to the money where it was all going, and it traced back to one of our church members. I'm just saying to you that you can get caught in a sin and you don't realize what is happening. The Bible says any of us can be overtaken by sin if we are not judging ourselves. Don't think you're special. Don't think you're unique. No temptation has taken you, the Bible says, but such is common to man. And God will make a way of escape. But if you don't take that way of escape, you can get caught in that sin. And sin will take you lower than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay, right? It'll make you pay more than you want to pay. And so there is a separation that we need from sin that comes, listen to me, by your confronting your brother and sister in Christ. You can't do that, though, unless you're walking with God. If you're dirty and your hands are dirty, you can't help that brother or sister. And so what does the Bible say? Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. Notice that, overtaken. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. And so it's our responsibility, if we're walking with God, to help that brother or sister that is caught in a sin and help them, because if you don't do it, it's going to get worse. And so if you're spiritual, that means you're not letting your carnal nature take over, and so you're able to help somebody else. Now, why is it in so many churches people don't do this? Why is it? Well, number one, it's not preached many times. It's preached like, well, if somebody's in sin, we'll just preach to them, and by preaching, get that sin out of them, or they'll just leave. They'll hate the preaching and leave. That's the view that's taken by preachers, but it's not biblical. The Bible says, as I just quoted to you, that it is your responsibility to walk with God and to see somebody overtaken in a fault. You know, you see a fellow student cheating on a test or on something. Well, you say to that student, either you tell the teacher or I'm going to tell the teacher. I'm going to give you so much time, if you don't do it, that I'm going to tell. In other words, you need to realize that this is your responsibility. And why is it? Well, perhaps it's not properly preached in some churches. Perhaps you're not walking with the Lord yourself. And so you say, I'm guilty. I can't confront somebody else. Well, that's all the more reason why you need to get right with God so you can help somebody else. You may be afraid that they'll attack you. In other words, you're a coward. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love. I find out there's so many cowardly Christians. They're just cowardly, and they're not valiant for the truth. Boy, do we need courage. Boy, do we need valiant for the truth. Because if we don't have it, then we're not going to help our church, and we're not going to help one another to be separate from sin. Maybe you don't do it because you feel like that's the pastor's responsibility. You know, he's supposed to. That's why we hire him. He's supposed to take care of church discipline. Well, he is over the discipline of the church. You're right. That is a big responsibility of the pastor. But that doesn't mean he does it all. You remember Moses? When his father-in-law said, you need to have captains of thousands, captains of hundreds, captains of 50s, captains of 10. And then when you see something in your area, then you take it to someone else. Eventually it goes to Moses, the most difficult cases. But you need to do it yourself. Somebody will come to me and say, Pastor, so-and-so is doing that. I say, that's not for you to come to me with it. Did you go to them? You need to confront them. Don't go to me. You go to them. It comes to me eventually, and I'll take care of it. But if you're not doing your duty, then that is not right. And so that's where if you see something, say something to the person, not to somebody else. That's gossip. Gossip is getting somebody involved with a problem that's not part of the solution. You go to the brother. That's where it says, I'll read it to you. You're very familiar with it, many of you. Matthew 18:15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him, what? Alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. What does that mean? That you go to him alone and tell him that sin that is hurting the testimony of Jesus Christ and will hurt that person and will hurt other people. And you go to that person and if he'll hear thee, that doesn't mean if he hears you with his physical ears. It means if he hears you and admits, I am in sin, I repent, I need to get that right. And then you can leave it at that level between you and that brother. But the Bible says, if he doesn't hear you, what are you supposed to do? One of the men tell me, Brother Matthew, what are you supposed to do?
Take one or two brothers and sisters in Christ who are spiritual and confront.
Exactly right. Well, he didn't hear me. I'll go to the pastor now. No, not necessarily. You go to a spiritual brother or sister in Christ, or two, take that person with you and take notes. Every word will be established. A lot of times people condemn themselves by their words. I confronted somebody about something one time. I said, did you do this? They said, more or less. I said, either you're doing it or you're not. Are you doing it? Yep. You listen to every word. Say, why is that important? Because you're not trying to condemn the person. Some people think, oh, that's judging and condemning. No, it's not judging. Judging is when you're getting in somebody's business outside of your area. If it's your brother or sister in Christ and you see they're sinning and hurting themselves in the testimony of Christ, that is your business. That is your business. And so you need to do that and then take notes. And like I said, if that is not dealt with, then you take somebody with you. And you can win a person. James 5:20 says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him doesn't mean get him saved. Now, change of direction in his life, or he's going this way, and now he's turned around and he's repented of what he's doing. He says, one, convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. What does that mean? Sin can kill us. We can go to an early grave. You say, where's that in the Bible? In 1 Corinthians 11, because people were not confronting sin in the church and they were not concerned about holiness, God was confronting it. God was chastening them by letting them get sick and by letting them even die young because of sin. And so you need to nip sin in the bud, because if not, it'll overtake you and destroy your life. And so separation in your church from that which is sinful, holiness is firstly by disciplining yourself. 1 Corinthians 11:31. Secondly, it's by confronting, listen to me, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Matthew 18:15 through 18. Thirdly and lastly, there is a separation of God, your father's painful discipline. There is the separation by God, your father's painful discipline. You see, sometimes there has to be a separation of a person from the family of God. You know, it's a real sad thing when a person is separated from church and they can't come to church. That is a tough thing when they can't come to church. Church discipline means you can't come to church. Church discipline means you can't have dinner with members of the church and enjoy your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's a nice thing to have. Church discipline means you lose that privilege. Church discipline means that you can't take the Lord's table with other members when we take the Lord's table. And what a sad thing that is when you can't benefit from church. And that is very, very painful. And that is exactly what the Bible says. And I'll read it in Matthew 15, verse 16 and 17. It says, "But if he will not hear thee," that is one person, "then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established." Now watch this. "If he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. And if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican." In other words, if the person does not repent when one person comes and then you take two or three, then you take it to the pastor and it goes to the whole church. And that person is confronted by the whole church to show good cause why they should not be removed from the privileges of fellowship. You see, that's very painful. And let's say they harden their heart and they do not get that right, then they are voted to be placed on church discipline and they can't have that fellowship with the church at all. And when that happens, listen to me, that is painful. And that is handing them over to Satan, because there's a certain protection. Did you know when you're a member in good standing in a local church, there's a certain protection that God puts around your life? Job called it a hedge, or I should say the devil called it a hedge. He said, "You put a hedge around Job. You've walled him in. I can't get to him." But when you're put on church discipline, the devil can have at you. He can have at you, and God lets him have at you. And he can kill you if God lets him. He can make you sick. You know, a lot of things he can do. You see it in Job. There's a lot of things the devil can do that is stopped because you're a member of the church and you're protected. And so when you're put on church discipline, you're handed over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, the body. And he can have at you. And so I'm just saying tonight that is very painful to be handed over in that way for church discipline, and to lose the privilege of being in the church and having the fellowship of the church. Now, one more thing it says there, Matthew 18, let him, if he doesn't hear the church, in other words, if he's on church discipline and he's away from the church for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, finally it says, take him off discipline and let him be like a publican or a tax collector. In other words, like a heathen, somebody that's not even saved. And that's another thing church discipline will do. It'll either chasten the believer to help him to repent and get right, or it will show a person, listen to me, that he never had Christ in his life in the first place. His heart is hardened, and he doesn't care because he's not saved. And so you remove that person from membership. And in my almost 50 years, well, over 50 years of being a member of this church, and 48 years now a pastor, I've never seen a person go all the way through that and go through discipline and not respond, ever come back. And that's a scary thing. I wouldn't want to be in that place. You don't want to be in that place. And so the Bible says that that is our responsibility. Now, if we don't do that, let's say you don't discipline yourself, or the church doesn't practice discipline. It says in 1 Corinthians 11:30, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." That's when God goes to work, and he does his part to discipline that person. Now, let me say this. Sometimes it's a private thing, and you can deal with it privately. But sometimes a sin is commonly known. A person is living in a sin that destroys the testimony of Jesus Christ, destroys the testimony of the church, and people know it. And here's what it was in 1 Corinthians. If you look at 1 Corinthians 5, look at verse 1 and 3. And I'll read it. It says in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1, "It is reported commonly that there's fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife." In other words, it's like the old Jerry Springer show. You had a stepmother and a son living together in fornication. Verse 3, Paul says, "For I verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that has so done this deed." He says in verse 5, "To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." In other words, let Satan have at him and discipline him and cause him bodily harm, so that this person in the day when Christ comes back will have rewards and will not lose his rewards and his blessings. You have a responsibility. And he's saying here, you don't have to go through step one of Matthew 18. You don't have to go through step two. You can bring this right to the church. Why? Because it's a common knowledge that this guy's living with his stepmother in this wickedness. It's common knowledge. Everybody knows about it. It's public. So the church needs to act. And you know what? It's good to remember this tonight. And so I want to just say tonight that there is a need for holiness in our lives, holiness in our church. There's a need for separation from sin and worldliness that will destroy us and destroy the testimony of the Lord. Number one, by seeing it yourself and getting it right between you and God through the Lord's provision. Number two, by listen to me, to a brother or sister who's confronting you, or by confronting somebody that needs to be confronted and going through that process. But number three, if that doesn't work, tell it to the preacher after you've done your part, and let it come out to the church, and let God do his work. And if you don't do that, then what can happen to you? Remember Achan, when Joshua was on his face and he said, "God, why aren't you with us? You said you'd be with us." And what did God say? "Get up off your face. There's sin in the camp. And this family has robbed from the Lord's treasury what I said was to be committed in Jericho. And they've all worked together." So Achan was stoned, and so was his family. Then God stopped chastening the whole congregation. Same thing with Ananias and Sapphira. God dealt with them so that the gospel and the word of God could keep going forward. How about it? Are you examining yourself? Are you in that place where you can help others because you're walking with God? Are you willing to go through what the Bible says and obey God so that we can have a good testimony and go forward with the gospel? Let's bow for prayer tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder